Welcome back to the Eagle Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, you love food, or you claim to love food. So how hard is it for you to fast for 25 hours?
In my old age, I've become not as good of a faster as when I was a kid. I wouldn't even notice. Although, you know, the thing about fasts, and I've probably made this point on a podcast before, is the second the fast is over, I don't need to eat for 7 more hours. It's just knowing you can't eat. Like, I'd much rather check Twitter and check scores and fantasy and stuff, like, the second the fast is over. I'll have a drink.
There's this insane thing in my synagogue, which I've never seen before, except for the synagogue where I now go in my new town, which is all the women, and not the men for some reason, all the women bring, like, snacks.
Yeah.
And then the second, like, the shofar blows, they rip them out and start eating them as if they're, like, you know, like Holocaust survivors.
It's a great idea if you are
a baby.
It's
you can't wait 5 minutes
it's
to get home.
It's literally for babies. Like, I totally understand. Yeah. The only things babies don't fast, so they don't need it. But, like,
if you want to bring a bottle of water, fine. But, like, you have to have, like, a granola bar right now or you're going to die?
Now, the way service works is, like, sometimes you are stuck there for, like, another 15 minutes because there's another short prayer and then they do the outside thing, right?
Well, these are the women, though. None of them are hanging around.
Well, my wife, like, hangs around. I'm like, why don't you go home, lady, and start, you know, putting up the lasagna.
So, actually, so we finished, like, 2 minutes early this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we finished 2 minutes early. So the guy, so just for the Gentiles who are listening, so the way that the Yom Kippur service ends is it ends with a blowing of the shofar, which is the ram's horn, which is blown usually only on Rosh Hashanah, but on Yom Kippur it's blown at the very end to signal that it's done. So the shofar blower whips out his shofar, but we were 2 minutes before the time. So the gabbai, the guy who sort of runs the show, he signals, he's like, no, shofar after Marv. And which means after the additional 15-minute service that Akiva was talking about, which isn't really part of the Yom Kippur service. And when he said that, I thought there was going to be a riot, especially from, like, the women and people who are, like, they're here for the climax. They're not hanging around for that, you know? So then there was a lot of boos and a lot of arguing. So instead, we just sang for 2 more minutes.
Well, I'll tell you even, I mean, I used to go to the place down the street from me back when I used to live, you know, by my parents. When I was a kid, and what they do is there's not one room big enough for everybody, so they have two services, upstairs and downstairs. And downstairs is not like upstairs is like a beautiful room. Downstairs is just like where you'd have sort of like a school cafeteria. Like, it's not nice. So, and you're just sitting in, like, folding chairs as opposed to, like, nice chairs. So the way they make it up to the downstairs people is the rabbi praise, like, the main service, Ne'ilah, on right before, you know, towards the end of the holiday, of the fast day. So he goes down there. That's he like leads the service. Okay, that's what makes it up to them.
Our synagogue also has the upstairs in the main sanctuary and the downstairs in, like, the social hall. Right. But, like, the downstairs is the cooler one. That's where you
want
to be.
Right. So this is for people that can't get in.
And partly it's because you don't want the rabbi there. You want it to be faster.
And you can't, like, sneak in. But the rabbi there is borderline between, like, what we are and, like, Hasidic, where, like, he is, you know, like,
a beloved.
Yeah,
figure.
he is the synagogue. Like, there's no reason to go there. But here's the catch. So the downstairs people finish the normal time. The upstairs people are 15 minutes behind. So then the rabbi comes upstairs. And while you're about 30 seconds away from being able to eat, they dance for 20 minutes. He comes upstairs, and it's
ridiculous.
Like Mariano Rivera coming in, like, to enter Sandman. Like, it's just complete chaos. It's like everyone, like, jumps on him, and they just dance for 20 minutes. And I'm like, am I the only person here fasting? I thought, like, all 500 people in this room were fasting. Why do we want to keep this going for 20 more minutes singing and dancing?
It's kind of
but
ridiculous.
It's wild. Yeah. I mean, it's a wild scene. Props to all that.
My old synagogue in the city, the tradition was everybody would break their fast on scotch, which is
My brother-in-law did
that.
Had anything
in 25
did
hours.
That last night. Yeah. I was like, I'm not cool enough to be invited. Plus, I don't really drink. But
I broke my fast for Tzom Gedalia last week on something else. And my wife is like, really? Like, you know, you have to, like, you can't wait. Like, you know, that's what you're waiting all day for. And I said, well, it has a better effect when you're
so
hungry.
Now you've been on social media blackout for a few weeks. Can we cancel this? Can we say it's time to go back? You have 362 days to atone for any sin you might do starting tomorrow. Like, let's get out of the social media blackout.
I'm in like a family WhatsApp group.
Yeah,
I'm in a family chat where somebody sent. It's important. Like, somebody sent, like, this little, like, meme last night. It's important to be well behaved between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but it's even more important to be well behaved between Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah.
Right. Yeah.
In other words, the other 355 days a year. So.
Anyway, All right, so the Twins season has ended since we last did a podcast. The postseason started and ended.
I got to say, I'm glad it's like Thursday when we're recording this. We've had some time because, like, if we would record last night, like, I was like in a really pissy mood. Mm-hmm. Not even like about the Twins, like about, like, you know, stuff going on in the world, but, you know, also about the Twins.
Yeah, I mean, but, how about this? Like, would you rather be the Braves that just got got their hopes up and just got humiliated? I mean, there were stories of like people leaving the game in the first inning. Imagine going to a game not even seeing your team hit.
Well, that's what they deserve for doing the tomahawk chop literally while there's a Native American pitcher pitching on the other team who says it's offensive to him.
Well, they said they'd stop once he said, please don't do it. They said they wouldn't do it to
him. No, the team said they would stop, and so the fans did it without the team.
Well, I didn't know. I mean, the game was over by the time that happened.
No, they did it on the second pitch of the game before the
10-run explosion.
Oh, really?
I see. I didn't. Yeah,
so
all I saw was it was 10-0, and that was it.
Yeah.
Or the Dodgers.
Actually, this is a negative reason why we're recording now, because I was all excited to drop this chiddush, this hot take, but now I've seen Yair Rosenberg and others have beat me to it, which is, the Twins series obviously done. By the way, the fact that every other series went to five games and, you know, they can't, the Twins get swept again. Yeah. Like, you can say the Twins are worse
team, baby.
I mean, whatever you think, like, the Twins are obviously a better team than, like, the Rays or the Cardinals. It's just, you know, it's asinine. There's obviously something at play here at this point. Mm-hmm. But of the other three series, so the Twins series was over, but the other three series all had a game on Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. And each of the series, the team that was the favorite, the better team, each of those teams had a Jewish player on their team. And I'm not one to tell Jews how to practice or anyone else how to practice their religion. But, like, when there's a precedent in baseball that when you're Jewish and your team's playing at
Yom
Kippur.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is bad juju. So let's go one by one. So Alex Bregman, phenomenal player, mm-hmm. the likely American League MVP, right, came into the game in the first three games of the series batting .444. He had reached base at least twice in every single game. He had a 1.472 OPS.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he plays in Yom Kippur. Angers the baseball gods, or the god in this case, goes 1-for-4 with a measly single, strikeout, a negative WPA, and the Astros, the best team in baseball, lose, and now they're going to a game 5 today where anything could happen. All right?
Yeah.
Next team, the Braves.
Well, do the Braves last. Do the Braves last, then I'll explain why. Do the Braves last.
Okay, fine. Fine. So the Dodgers, of all teams, the Dodgers should know when you have a Jew on your team, you don't play on Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. Like the Koufax rule is because, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Jock Peterson. Ironically, actually, Jock Peterson started the game pretty good. He got a hit in each of his first two at-bats, which is when it was still Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. But, of course, ironically, he was actually taken out of the game once it was nightfall and Yom Kippur was over. He was pinch-hit for in the 10th inning. But God was disgusted by the Dodgers as a team, and so, you know, for playing their Jew on Yom Kippur, so they turned their 3-0 lead into the disastrous 7-3 loss. You know, some by fire, some by water, mm-hmm. some by grand slam, mm-hmm. by a guy named Howie. Which, by the way, Howie is, like, as old Jew a name as you'll ever see.
It's weird because Howie Kendrick started off his career as, like, a batting average only second baseman, right?
He was a very top prospect when he first came up.
Yes, big prospect, never hit for power, was always like, oh, this is going to be, you know, he's going to win the batting title, but then didn't really have a lot of power. He hit, like, his first bunch of years, 4-5-3 in, like, half, and then 10-10, 18-8, 13-7-9, 8-9, like, was never really a home run hitter. And then, of course, this year had 17 homers and 370 at-bats because everyone and their grandma did. But, yeah, he had never had an OPS for a full season. I think he had one above .802 his whole career until this year where he was basically 1,000. But as a first baseman, a 35-year-old first baseman from a slap-hitting second baseman, baseball is kind of absurd nowadays.
Yeah. So anyway, so the favorite Astros lose because their Jew plays on Yom Kippur, their MVP Jew. Mm-hmm. The favorite Dodgers lose because their Jew plays on Yom Kippur. And then the Braves, the favorite Braves. So, you know,
I'll say the Brave is different because I think Bregman and Jock are pretty distant, whereas Fried, if it was the regular season, probably doesn't play, he says, on Yom Kippur. Like, he's much more affiliated than the other two.
Well, Yom Kippur's never falling out of the regular season. I mean,
I understand.
Could the last week
of
the year.
But the point is, like, he's the only one where it's realistic.
Well, if he's the most observant of the three, that's why he was punished the most. Because when he came into that game, it was four. Mm-hmm. He comes into the game in the series.
Yeah.
He has pitched 2.1 scoreless innings with two holds. Mm-hmm. So he's pitched perfectly in the playoffs so far. Comes into the game. His team is losing 4-0, but they're clinging to life. Mm-hmm. When he left the game, they were losing 11-0 and their season was over.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, God, you know, you can do whatever you want. But if you're a Major League Baseball player and your team is playing on Yom Kippur,
that's what history says. Don't play.
Yeah,
but can you imagine like the Skip Bayless the next day? All the people on how like Twitter would go insane if they lost
in Jew World.
Yeah, not Jew World. Like just general media, if they didn't play and then they lost, that would be That would be wild.
Well, but that's but that's the famous Koufax line. So he sat that game against the Twins in the 65 World Series. Don Drysdale pitched. Mm-hmm. Don Drysdale got shelled by the Twins. And when the manager came to take him out of the game, Drysdale said to him, "I bet you wish I was Jewish too."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, but then, of course, you know, Koufax came in and, you know, pitched the next day on 2 days rest and shut the Twins out on 1-2-0. Mm-hmm. So it was all forgiven. Yeah, but look, as a Twins fan, you know, other than the fact that we have this completely spooky inability to beat the Yankees, especially in the playoffs, I think that I have reason to be optimistic. This is a team that a year before they were supposed to compete, they won 101 games. Every single player on their offense, except for Nelson Cruz, is young. Everyone's under contract. And they only have $50 million committed next year, which means in theory they have like $70 million plus to spend on the rotation, which they need.
Do we know if Major League Baseball is going to make baseball like normal sport again and change the balls?
Well, have you seen the playoff stuff?
No. What playoff stuff?
So the ball in the playoffs has been the regular ball. It has not been the regular season ball.
That's absurd. Why would you change the rules in the playoffs? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. I'm just they did these analyses of the ball, and the baseball in the playoffs has been a different ball.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you that it's an absurd thing.
I mean, you saw the AAA stats, and like it's clearly. I mean, obviously nobody argues, but it's funny because we had the balls juiced stuff in the 90s, and then it ended up being the players that were juiced, and we just didn't realize.
Yeah.
So is it possible everyone's just juicing up the wazoo? I don't know.
No, because they've analyzed the ball and they've shown that the seams are smaller and it's a more spherical ball and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
there's no reason to watch any more baseball, right? Other than maybe to see the Yankees lose and.
Well, this year you're saying. Yeah. Well, I mean. You have to root for the Nationals in the Astros/Rays, obviously, because the Yankees and
well, no, I definitely I don't want to. I mean, I obviously if it's Nationals and Yankees, I would have to root for the Nationals, but I hate the Nationals. Like, I really don't want.
Wait, but you would root for the Cardinals over the Nationals?
Well, I detest the Cardinals because of 2006. So
everyone detests the Cardinals.
Yeah, it's tricky, man. I guess like the
Cardinals are the Yankees.
Nationals
of the
lose a heartbreaker to the Astros is my ideal. I don't like anybody left.
Yeah. I mean, you can't root for the Rays because, you know, their fans, they don't have any
fans. I'd be fine with the Rays. If the Rays beat the Astros, they're my team going forward.
Well, yeah, by default.
The GM named Chaim winning the World Series? That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so, Twins.
Did Chaim, well, they had a day off, right? What was their deal?
Yeah, they played.
They played the night, not the day.
They played on Cold Nidre night, and Bregman, that's what we're talking about. But they don't have any Jews on their team,
their
players.
Did Chaim Bloom fast?
Oh, I don't know if Chaim Bloom fasted. Did he go to the game? Did he walk to the game? I have no idea. But I'm very excited because the Twins have already promised the front office that they're going to spend and they're going to go after top-line pitching. So
yeah.
Gerrit Cole, I'm offering you Carl Perlad's money right now. I will say, Gerrit Cole, I will give you 6 years, $240 million, $40 million a year. Come to Minnesota, mm-hmm. please. Yeah, so that's baseball. What else? Do you know Ezra Waxman by any chance?
No.
Maybe I'll take this out of the podcast. He was a camper of mine at camp. His sister, Alana, went to law school with me. His other sister, Elisa, is friends with Sammy. He was the chazen at the shul in Germany where the attack was.
Oh, really?
Which is like a crazy small world.
Take that out,
and then the whole synagogue, actually, it's actually nice. The whole shul went to the hospital and like did an ila like at the hospital with the victims.
I thought the victims were Jewish. I didn't even know.
I don't know. Who,
oh, you mean they just
all
went.
I know is,
okay.
All I know is the whole shul went to the hospital and that's where they finished their
that's
service.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Take
what
it
else
out,
you want to talk about the Kurds?
Yeah. Well, take that. All right, fine. What else? So China, people want us to
talk about
China and the NBA.
Yeah.
I get all my takes from Bill Simmons, noted knower of all. Bill Simmons in the last week, he said the WWE got in trouble for going to South Africa. He meant Saudi Arabia. What else did he say?
Whatever. They both have an S and an A. Like, how could he know the difference?
I mean, so far. But what else did he... What other mistakes
he compared
did
he make? Hong Kong to Hawaii. He flouted this completely idiotic line that Hong Kong is trying to become independent, which is like Chinese, like, you know, propaganda.
I mean, maybe they are, but like Hong Kong doesn't have an army,
that is not a stated goal of any of the protests.
No, and it's absurd because they are realistic and they know, like... They have no army.
They're trying
and China
to abide by the. They're trying to abide by the agreement that was agreed to in 1999.
Yeah.
But by the way, everyone's like, you know, like hating on like the players and like, oh, why aren't they woke? No, why aren't they talking about like the reason LeBron James and Steph Curry are like they speak about issues that are personal to them that they are familiar with, right? Like
this isn't in the top 1,000 issues as an American. Like nobody knows.
Yeah, they have no obligation to speak on those issues.
China versus Hong Kong wouldn't be asked if there was a debate every night for 5 years for the Democratic primary.
Yeah.
Like it's not a top 1,000 American issue. And how about no American knows anything about it. And by the way, we know this from the things we care about. Also, it's like if someone like Daryl Morey, who has like 12 followers on Twitter, has a tweet that was going to go away within 4 hours, Don't blow it up. Just ignore him.
By the way, China's a country that doesn't even allow Twitter. So no one in China saw the
tweet. Who cares? They're such it's not just them. It's like any country or any place that gets mad. Like, if you ignore the tweet, if it's one thing if it was like, you know, the president saying it or like Justin Bieber and Kim Kardashian and everyone is now talking about it. Like, just one dork on Twitter who literally has no followers, just ignore him and it goes away. Now you've actually done so much PR for the side that's against you. I didn't know they exist. Yeah. You know, nobody knew they existed. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. But so I'm not defending the players. I'm just like, I think the criticism of the players is a bit silly. I think the bad guys here, the ones who deserve criticism, and it's not the NBA either, by the way, because the NBA has sort of tried to talk out of both sides of their mouth, but the bottom line is that they have actually said that they defend Moore's right. Yeah. Like, the reason China's pissed at them is because
if they really were anti-Moore, he would have been fired. Like, you know, like, if they were mad at him, like, obviously he's going to cost them $1 zillion, and there's no way.
And there's no chance he'll be fired.
No, he's not going to get
fired.
To me,
the bad guys by far is ESPN. The way that ESPN has acted is shameful. It's not if ESPN were to tell, you know, ESPN sent a memo telling all its on-air personalities that they're not allowed to discuss it, they're not allowed to say anything. And if these ESPN personalities would come in these shows and say, well, listen, according to company policy, we're not allowed to discuss this, at least acknowledge that. They don't acknowledge that. Instead, they come on air, and the only thing they do is they spout the Chinese, you know, state propaganda lines. And, like, that's really, to me, is disgraceful. So I've been like ESPN is supposed to be a news organization. And I understand that they're partners with the NBA, and I understand that they have significant financial interest in China. And look, like honestly, like so do I. Like, my personal business is affected. Like, you know, we have a lot of business in Asia, including in China, and, like, I understand when you're like torn between sort of principles and the bottom line. I do understand that. But NBA
has done. What's ESPN's China connection? Because that I haven't really looked into at all. Like,
they're partners with the NBA,
right?
And the NBA has they've said that they said the cap could drop as much as 15% or something absurd number because of the lost revenue. Tencent, which is like the big network there, which I've literally done a deal with in the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. They're dropping all the NBA games.
It's crazy the Lakers.
Like,
the fact that the Lakers Nets were even able to play, I do think this will. I don't know if they're going to get the money back right away, but I do think this will blow over. Like, they'll punish the Rockets, but I feel like they'll show. If there's a demand for the games enough that actually makes the money, I think that they'll actually show the games. Like,
well, I don't know, because you have to. I mean, you have to remember also, like, the because China is like an autocratic state with a closed state-run media, like the 2 billion people in China don't really know what's going on other than what they're being told. Mm-hmm. So maybe they won't have a demand for the NBA if they're being told that the NBA has come out with some, you know, if the NBA or some league came out with some like violently anti-Semitic, anti-Israel position, I think there would be. I think that a lot of people in Israel, for example, would stop watching it or stop following it, right? On the one hand, you're like, well, if you like basketball, you like basketball. But on the other hand, if you're being told that they've done something like really evil and heinous against you, so I don't know. To me, like, the NBA is stuck in a little bit of an awkward position. I wish they would be a little more forthright, honestly, and a little. But I understand them are a little more justifiable. And the players, again, I don't expect James Harden to have takes here. But I've been really disgusted with ESPN. To me, ESPN are the bad guys.
Yeah,
here. Boycott ESPN.
I've sort of put this in my ESPN Outsider. You know, to quote like paraphrase Bill Simmons. Like, I've really avoided the story just because I've been kind of busy. Let's talk about football because that football has no connection to China. We're not lowering the salary cap from, you know, maybe football can capitalize on China's loss in the sports game.
I like the conspiracy theories that this is all like a Daryl Morey genius move because he's trying to lower the cap to affect other
teams. That would be really funny. I mean, imagine. It's like, if we lose.
That comes out. All right, so how about this? I went through, I do my own power rankings every week. I went through DVOA to see the teams that I have the biggest, difference between me and DVOA.
Mm-hmm.
And I got 6 of them, all right?
Okay.
Have you looked at DVOA recently?
I actually have not looked at it this week.
Okay, good. So I'm going to tell you the 6 teams, and you're going to guess who's higher. These are the 6 teams where there's at least a 6-spot difference between me and DVOA in the rankings.
Okay, and it could be
so
for
each of
or
these,
worse.
You're going to guess. Yeah, you're going to guess who's higher and who's lower, okay?
Okay.
So first, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I'm going to say DVOA likes them, and Alexander Chester does not like them.
Yeah, no, there's not a huge difference. They're at 13, I'm at 19.
Yeah, that's not that big.
So not that big. All right, Detroit Lions. I think this one's pretty obvious.
Yeah, you don't like them. DVOA likes them.
Yeah, so similar. It's 11 and 17, a six gap. Not a big difference. All right, Indianapolis Colts.
I'm going to say DVOA doesn't like them, and you like them.
Yeah, DVOA hates them. They have the Colts at 23.
Who have the Colts beaten?
This is by far the biggest gap. They went into San Diego in week one, and they should have won.
But now San Diego, we realize, is bad, but they were still okay in week one.
Yeah. It was, but then they went into Kansas City this past week and beat who we thought was the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, that's a really good win. I don't know why they're not getting more credit for that win. Maybe DVOA thought they should have got killed in that game, and they're like not counting it. I don't understand.
Like, but I don't understand what you just said.
No, I'm
but,
saying like why are they not? Why like it doesn't make any sense. They beat the Titans. They beat the Falcons. They have a bad loss. Oakland at home is a bad loss.
Yeah, although Oakland just beat Chicago also.
I know.
So,
but yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. I agree. Like this is definitely a team with a ceiling, but I don't know. It doesn't make any sense that there's that low. Or what are the other three teams?
All right, the other three teams are the Los Angeles Rams.
You're high, DVOA low.
Yeah, DVOA hates the Rams. They have them down at 17.
Yeah, if you don't know anything about the Rams from last year, if every year is just its own thing, what is really impressive about the Rams? So they beat the Saints, but they beat them the game that Breeze got knocked out. So it's like...
Okay, but the Saints have won every other game. So, I mean, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, but it was like Bridgewater with no time to prepare for a lot of that game.
But they also destroyed them. I mean...
The win in Carolina with Cam is probably less impressive than beating them with Kyle Allen at this point.
No, this is like such bullshit. Kyle Allen has not been good. The Panthers have been winning because of McCaffrey and the defense.
Yeah, but Cam's lost 80 straight games. The Cleveland win all of a sudden is not a good win. An especially good win. They lost. They gave up 55 at home to Tampa Bay. I'm assuming that metrics don't love that.
They went into Seattle and they should have won that game. Zuerlein missed a very easy kick for Zuerlein.
I think they'll be fine. I mean, the Rams' next three games are the Niners, maybe a loss, but then Atlanta and Cincy, they're probably going to win. And then they get Pittsburgh with who knows who at quarterback. I mean, they have a bunch of winnable games. They haven't played Arizona yet. That could get pretty sweet.
Well, I mean, I think the talk about the Rams, where it needs to start and end, is Jared Goff. Other than Baker Mayfield, has there been a bigger disappointment at quarterback this year than Goff? Yeah. I don't think so.
I mean, Goff has thrown for 1,000 yards the last 2 weeks and somehow still
sucks. But still, but he has seven interceptions, which is more than anyone in the league but Mayfield, and he has three lost fumbles. So his 10 turnovers lead the league.
Also, Gurley went from, you know, 11 months ago being like one of the best players in the NFL to just being another guy.
Okay, but 63-43,
16-51 is last.
Okay, but they went to the Super Bowl, you know, without Gurley with CJ Anderson filling in. So,
and what did they do in that Super Bowl?
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. So I think the Rams, I think they are going to be fine. But you know, the question is like, is Goff going to get a $100 million contract? Like, you know, we always thought that he was sort of a system guy.
Well, someone will give it to him.
But
if they don't give it to him, someone else will give it to him and then figure it out. Chicago or somebody.
Well, I don't know. We have to see how the rest of the season goes. If he ends the season with a 1-to-1 touchdown interception ratio, they're not going to give it to him, right? He's averaging 7.4 yards per attempt, which in this day and age is not good. He's completing 63% of passes, which in this day and age is very. I mean, that's worse than Luke Falk. So. Goff is a very big concern, and considering all the weapons he has. So I would be worried about him. But all right, who else? All right, the New Orleans Saints.
I'm going to say you high, DVOA low.
Yeah, DVOA, not a fan of the Saints. They have him down to 12.
Yeah, I think that's incorrect.
Yeah, that's a bit of a surprise. And then anyone else? Oh, the last one is the Niners.
DVOA really likes them.
Yeah, they have him number one
overall. I knew that a couple weeks ago they were like weirdly high after at 3-0. So,
yeah, and their defense the defense is the Patriots and the Niners, and then a massive, massive, massive gap, and then the next defenses are the Vikings.
Yeah, but those
Bills,
are like unbelievably good defense. Although I would put that, you know, if the Niners defense is better than the Bears, then God help us all, because you know I don't know. The Niners are not that I thought they would be good at all. I'm not taking any credit, but the one thing I did say is like they had like an endless supply of sort of like. You know, above slightly like guys you've heard of. I don't even want to say above average, just like competent skill position players. And you see that. They have like 14 receivers and 11 running. I don't know how they fit these guys on the roster.
I don't know what you're talking about. They have the worst collection of skill guys in the league,
arguably.
I'm not
disagreeing even. I mean, Braid does actually kind of look good. I'm not disagreeing about the Niners skill position guys. I'm not saying any of them are good. I'm just saying like they have like 14 different guys every week out there. And it's like, how do they have all these guys?
Yeah, but I mean, other than Kittle, none of them.
But I would say the running backs.
I mean, their offensive line is.
I disagree.
Good,
Breda and Coleman are both above average running backs. Breda and Coleman are both very good players. They are. Right. Breda's running for 6.5 yards a carry, by the way, this season.
And by the way, Garoppolo's been okay, but Garoppolo hasn't been fantastic.
I don't know. It's weird. If you had said that the Niners were 4-0, I'd say, oh, Garoppolo is like the MVP favorite, right? Not one person's talking about that.
Yeah. Well, also, you look who they've beaten, right? They beat the Bucs, they beat the Bengals, they beat the Steelers, and they beat the Browns. So, granted, you know, the Browns game especially was a destruction, but they haven't beat anybody yet. Now they're playing at the Rams this week. We'll get to that game, but, you know, this is their first real test. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, they're going to get two against the Rams, two against the Seahawks. They got to play the Packers. They got to play the Ravens.
They have Washington and two games with Arizona in the next six games. So, I mean, they could struggle to 7-3.
But other than that, other than the games you just mentioned, and I guess the Falcons maybe, every other game is against a playoff team.
Yeah, the Falcons game. But other than that, yeah, I agree.
So I do think that the Niners, because they banked those wins, I think they're a playoff team. They're going to win 11
games. It's weird because I was looking at their schedule. I'm like, well, what if they sort of fall apart to 9-7, 10-6-ish? And I, looking at the Rams schedule, I was like, this team could go 9-7 by accident, just, you know, lose a couple more close games.
Yeah.
I mean, we had three teams in the South. Is it possible three teams in the West make the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, that is my
Then the NFC Norris would really be just an absolute bloodbath, although I do think the Packers are a step above you guys in Chicago. But, man, because one, the South is looking really, you know, very possible. And between Dallas and Philly, someone's quarterback is going to get hurt or somebody's going to fall apart. Seattle 4-1 with Cleveland, Baltimore, Atlanta, Tampa, and the Niners before a bye. And they have a pretty tough schedule, although they do have Arizona late. Man, Seattle, San Francisco, that last game, that could be the final game, game 256.
Yeah, definitely.
Remember
possible.
Now they don't always do, they only do it if it's relevant. They don't always do game 256, weirdly.
Yeah. That game's in Seattle. So, that could be a very good game. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. It's obviously very early. But Pittsburgh at Baltimore is not going to matter. I don't think Pittsburgh's going to matter. Right, the two good teams in the NFC East aren't facing each other. The two good teams in the AFC East aren't facing each other. It could be an NFC North game. Green Bay at Detroit, Chicago at Minnesota.
Yeah,
one of those could be a playing game. It could be, Indy at Jacksonville could be a playing game. Tennessee at Houston could be a playing game.
Whoever the Jets are playing.
Yeah. New Orleans at Carolina, in theory, could be a playing game. San Francisco at Seattle, that could definitely be it. All right, so what are we doing? We talking about – it's too late to talk about last week's
games. Yeah, no, we're talking about next week's games. Let's start with week six in the league where they play for pay. I guess starting with the Giants Patriots because that's in a few hours.
Yeah, but there's nothing to say about that.
If the Giants won this game with like guys, I mean, I'm starting one of their guys in a deeper league, but like I don't even know his name. Gilliman?
Yeah, Jonathan Hilliman. You should not be playing him.
I know, but I got nobody. It's a deep league.
Yeah.
It's not even the 16 teamer where I don't have a single skill position guy you've heard of.
By the way, Daniel Jones, after that, you know, magnificent, you know, debut against the Bucs, did not look very good against Washington, looked pretty bad against the Vikings, but he's still a million times better than Eli.
And that we thought he'd be. Like, I wouldn't be nervous about him. He should have growing pains. He went.
Yeah, he's a rookie, and the Vikings have a very good defense.
So the Pats, he...
I thought he'd get some garbage time.
I did okay, I think, in best guess the spread. If you're in our Facebook group, you always post those there. But I did not beat you for the 8 millionth straight week. What's the spread, 16.5?
This one's something like that.
I don't think the Patriots are going to cover.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... Yeah,
Patriots
I think
are
the
also
Giants
missing a bunch of guys. I mean, the Giants are missing, like,
I think
their
whole
team.
I think they're going to win 24-10 or something like that, yeah.
If you're Sterling Shepard, you have two concussions in, like, 3 weeks. I just sit out the season and probably retire, like... Guys who have two concussions in a year should not be allowed to play again during the season. That's my take. You're risking getting a third concussion in one season? What are you doing? Like, they should get paid, like, automatically.
Well, why are any of these guys playing football then by that standard?
I mean, like, Cousin Sal talks about how his son's allowed to play until he gets his first concussion.
Well, Cousin Sal was telling a dark story about some kid in their team almost died.
Yeah.
So Cousin Sal's not exactly, you know, him and Bill Simmons.
No, he said
it.
He said at that point he said if his son quit, that he wouldn't care. He would get it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
All right, imagine neither of our wives would ever let our kids get near a football field, no?
Yeah.
Never.
I mean, my dad, not to say that I would have been a star football player, but my dad refused to let me play football as a kid, like any kind of football. Mm-hmm. And he, like...
What do you mean? You couldn't play two-hand touch? You couldn't play flag football?
No, he wouldn't allow me to play tackle football,
though.
Okay. But, like, you know, there was, like, peewee football, because my dad was a pretty serious football player in his day, in his youth. And he wouldn't let me play, and he showed me, you see this scar on my nose, and you see this injury, and you see this fake tooth, and he's like, this is all from football. And I was arguing with him, yeah, but what about all the memories you have, and da-da-da. And we didn't even know about, like, you know, head trauma then.
Yeah.
But I guess he was fortunately ahead of his time.
Well, we used to play tackle football. We would go, like, sneak to the back, like, yard in our high school where, like, there wasn't really any supervision, like, behind the school, like the fields, just the way the school was set up, it would, you know, the administrators would not really have any, like, they'd have to really, like, walk 10 minutes to get there or something. And and so we'd play tackle football, and Eric Cufflick, who is the host of this, you know, his website host of this podcast, he broke his collarbone one time playing, and he knew that if he had gotten caught, we all would have gotten in trouble and certainly been banned from ever playing football again. So he, like, you know, sucked it up, even though he literally had a broken collarbone and, like, knew he was very badly hurt, and, like, got through the rest of the day without showing them, and, like, he couldn't walk up the stairs to class. People had, like, carried him up the stairs, and he, like, had to go home and then, like, make sure his parents didn't tell the school, like, it happened during football, and they never figured it out. And also, Rafi Zlotnik broke his collarbone a few weeks later. So we had two broken collarbones, and the school never found out, and we were allowed to continue playing tackle football. Anyway, maybe tackle football is not so safe.
Yeah. Hot take. This week, finally, the London game is actually, like, in the morning.
Yeah, it doesn't help us, but, I mean, it helps you, actually. But yeah, there's two of the
It complicates
four
things
London
for, like, scheduling, you know, for getting pools in and stuff and setting your lineups
yes.
and all that kind of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, that is annoying. So Carolina-Tampa Bay, this is, I believe, the first matchup that's over, right? It's the first matchup we're seeing a repeat of this season, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah. Tampa Bay went into Carolina and won. Mm-hmm. Big upset.
Yeah,
And since then, Carolina's been much better. And Tampa, well, they went into Los Angeles and won also. Tampa is much better on the road. At home, they lose to the Giants.
I haven't read a lot about Tampa this week. Do we know why O.J. Howard went from being, like, looking like an all-pro to, like, not part of the NFL anymore in, like, 3-week span? has there been any articles written? Like, has there been a single
thing? Well, I don't
thing...
know. Did you see the one-handed catch he made at the Rays game?
Yeah, has there been – I did not see it. Has there been, like, a single article like, hey, the Bucks really are intending to get – I see it now, the catch. The Bucks are really yeah. intending to get O.J. Howard, like, involved. They're going to throw a lot of short past him. Have you seen any of that? Like, what is the deal? He was
well,
a really high
if,
draft pick.
First of all, it's not like their offense is struggling, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. So Mike Evans also had a complete 0 for last week.
Well, yeah, Mike Evans has had a bunch. He had one ridiculous game with 3 touchdowns and 200 yards. But I mean, Chris Godwin has become a top 5 wide receiver mm-hmm. all of a sudden. I mean, Chris Godwin has 190 yards after the catch.
Godwin's a beast.
Yeah. So Godwin has more yak than Howard has yards
yeah.
total.
I have Tampa winning this game.
So... Yeah, I have Carolina winning this game because anybody can score on Tampa, including, you know, Danny Dimes and including Kyle Allen or whoever's playing for Carolina and McCaffrey, even if he's a little banged up.
ESPN,
but I think Carolina's defense.
ESPN lists the ticket prices for all these games. So this the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, there's you could get in for $39. Who are the two games? And you could guess as we go on. Who are the two games with cheaper tickets, and then no game has the cheapest ticket being $100 or more, except one game, the cheapest ticket is $219. So what is the really expensive ticket this week, and what are the two cheap ones?
Okay, well, the cheap one, obviously, is the Dolphins game.
Yes. Oh, you can get it for $17 to Miami, Washington. I assume that means
I guarantee
that means they're paying
you can get
it
for less than $17.
I know, but that's right yeah. now. Also, like, I think the tickets yeah. were never bought, so, like, you know what I mean? It's like
is this, where are you looking? Is this on ESPN's, like, schedule
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, ESPN schedule.
Okay, so those are links to, like, StubHub, who's a sponsor. So that's, like, on one website or whatever whatever company
yeah,
it is.
Yeah. But still, okay, I think it's still thing. Pretty yeah. accurate, probably.
Yeah.
But there's a much cheaper ticket
when
than
when I used to live in Detroit, you literally could not give away tickets to Lions.
Yeah, there's a much...
But it wouldn't say on here tickets as low as zero.
Well, they wouldn't be selling on StubHub for zero. They just wouldn't be... That's yeah. not what they were bought for. That's what they're listed as.
Yeah.
So there's
yeah.
a ticket selling for $5 less than the Miami-Washington game, though.
Hmm. Well, I gotta look at my list.
When you
here.
See it, you'll be like, "Oh yeah, this game is going for nothing."
Cleveland, Kansas City, Miami, Minnesota, Jacksonville, maybe. Is it Jacksonville?
Nope, that's 53. That's one of the lower ones, but you know that's not that low.
Arizona.
Yeah, $12 to get into Atlanta, Arizona, because the Atlanta fans are not traveling right now to Arizona, and Arizona doesn't have fans. And what's the game that's $219 buy-in or get in?
It's usually like a home game for like a team like Philly
yeah.
or something
Seattle,
like that.
Seattle, Green Bay.
Green Bay on Monday night, maybe?
No, that's 73 only.
Yeah, who is it?
The Chargers Steelers. I guess the Steelers fans are...
Well, yeah, but that's also because there's only like 20
yeah,
seats
available.
Yeah, there's
no seats available, and the Steelers fans, I guess, are going to pack LA. Dignity Health Sports Park.
Yeah, it's going to be... what's the name of the guy who I used to like all the time? The Pittsburgh guy. He's friends with like Carolla and Simmons.
Jeselnik?
Damashek.
Damashek.
Dave Damashek.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be at that game. Okay. He works for the NFL, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So, all right. So I will pick Tampa. So we will have a little I will pick Carolina, excuse me. So we have a disagreement there on that
mm-hmm.
game. All right. Seattle at Cleveland. This is a game that, you know, I don't know what to expect because the Browns have looked like garbage in every week except for when they beat down Baltimore at home.
Yeah.
In Baltimore. So
Seattle's going to win this game.
Yeah. This line, by the way, started Cleveland was favored by like 2.5 at home, and I was definitely banging Seattle. But now Cleveland's a home dog.
Mm-hmm.
At a certain point, isn't it like put up or shut up, like desperation mode?
Let me ask you a question.
Do they have desperation mode? I was very anti the Browns in the preseason.
Yeah, I was not.
Kitchens. I was anti Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question. If they go 6-10, is Kitchens going to keep his job?
He can't. Well,
what could we see 3 first-year coaches get fired, like Jets, the Dolphins, and the Browns? How crazy would that be?
Well, it's just they can't fire the Dolphins. Can't fire the
I
coach.
Agree.
That's
Flores is certainly not so likely. Yeah. Gase is on the hot seat.
By the way, I would argue Gruden, who should have been fired in the past. I'm not sure if it's so fair to fire Gruden right now. Either.
I agree. You could have made a case. I mean, I think like behind the scenes stuff, they
drafted a quarterback who's completely unprepared to play.
Yeah.
And then
yeah, what game should he have won?
Their elite left tackle is not playing.
And also, it's so cheap because you like I get if you lose to Miami, I get the season is beyond over to 0-6. Like fire him.
Yeah,
but
you fire him after he plays the Patriots.
Yeah, and before it gets like and because now it's like you win, it's like oh everyone's rallying around what's his name? Who's the interim?
Yeah, I also don't understand why did they bench Case Keenum for Colt McCoy? Keenum, admittedly. You know, had a bad game when they benched him. But before that, he was very good at
doesn't make sense.
Eagles
but Keenum's back, and McCoy should be the third string at this point.
No, Keenum's not back. McCoy's starting, isn't he?
No, I think Keenum is playing.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it's McCoy. I mean, I hope it's Keenum. It should be Keenum. But, I mean, McCoy, I'm looking in his game last week.
No, Keenum's starting. McCoy's going to be back.
He is?
You know, and I assume unless Keenum gets hurt right now, I assume Haskins will take over as backup at some point soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think the issue is that they're saying that Haskins is just totally unprepared.
Yeah, Haskins, he's not it yet. All right, so you're picking Cleveland or Seattle?
This is going to be a mistake, but I'm going to pick Cleveland.
Okay, so we have one argument.
I just think that they have to. There has to be a moment of desperation for this team. And Baker Mayfield, as much as I didn't think that they were a Super Bowl caliber team, like Baker Mayfield was a average to slightly above average quarterback in his rookie year, which is basically unprecedented. Like guys like Carson Wentz who become superstars, they were below average as rookies. It's like very difficult to be a good quarterback as a rookie. I mean, you know, Dan Marino, I mean, Peyton Manning, Troy Aikman. So, all right. Houston at Kansas City. This game is probably going to be closer now than we thought it was coming into last week.
Let me ask you a question.
Kansas City, all of a sudden their offense is stoppable.
Let me ask you a
question. Play them in man.
The Sunday night game is Chargers Steelers. That's a bad game. They are you're now allowed to flex a couple times as early as week 5. So this game was flexible.
Oh.
Now, the Steelers are a really big TV team. I'm sure that...
Not at the moment. Not with Devlin Hodges.
I know, but I'm saying,
when
they made the decision, it was Mason Rudolph, not Devlin Hodges.
No, Houston KC should be this game for sure.
But so here's the thing.
Or Philly, Minnesota.
Well, first of all, one thing that the average person on the street, if they were thinking about this, wouldn't consider is like Al Michaels would probably have a temper tantrum if he could like drive to the game and then they made him go to Kansas City. And
also, if you're an Orthodox Jew like me, you don't want your game to be flexed. This
yeah,
week.
Then you miss it.
Because if you're playing if the Vikings game at 1:00, I can watch the whole game.
But how about this?
Sunday night,
if the Chiefs game was flexed. Yeah. Then the Chiefs would have 3 home games on Sunday Night Football in October. Because they already had one last week, and they have one in 2 more weeks. So that would be insane. Every single Chiefs home game in October, 3 of them would be the Sunday night game. But even so, looking at the schedule, Philly-Minnesota, I'd argue, should have been flexed before. I think Kansas City was out of games that were flexible also already.
Okay.
You're not going to do Dallas is always the team you look for, but they're out of games and they're playing the Jets. Cincy's awful, so you're not going to do Cincy Baltimore. So
San Fran at the Rams is
so
an
there's
option,
two
obviously.
Options: San Fran, the Rams, and Philly, Minnesota,
New Orleans, Jacksonville, maybe.
No. That's TV wise, you're going to do better with Pittsburgh and LA than New Orleans, Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So it didn't make any sense to me. I believe the game they looked at was the Rams Niners. That was the game that the league was at least slightly considering, but was not to be. But it's a weird, who cares about the Sunday night game? Like, the Chargers are not going to be in the playoffs, and the Steelers are not going to be in the playoffs. But the Chiefs are going to win that game. Chiefs are going to beat Houston, but that Mahomes-Watson, that's going to be special, and hopefully we'll get to see that a bunch of times in the next few years.
Well, I hope so. I mean, Mahomes was kind of a disappointment against the Colts, and the Colts were missing.
Yeah, let's write him off. Write off Mahomes. Frank Reich had,
Russell Wilson has taken the lead in the MVP discussion, I think, at least for one.
If they voted today, Wilson
it's funny, because a week ago, people were saying, how does Mahomes not win the next 10 MVPs in a row? And then a week later, it's like he's not even the favorite right now.
Yeah,
so.
Very fickle.
Yeah. Yeah, Washington at Miami.
Who cares? The fact that the spread was 3.5 is insane.
like for Washington.
Yeah, anybody who pretends that one of these teams is like objectively better. Now the game might end 48-0 one way or the other, but we have no idea which way that is. I think Washington has better players than Miami, so I will pick the Redskins.
Yeah, and I think
here.
Washington, I think firing the coach probably like to fire.
Yeah, they probably didn't like Gruden so much. The players.
Yeah, Washington probably wins, but I'm taking the points because you Washington deserves to be a road favorite. It's kind of
I would stay away.
Although
from
road teams are above 500 this year, straight up, which is kind of insane.
Yeah.
All right. So we both pick Washington there. All right. Philly at Minnesota. This is the first game, you know, that I'm really interested in seeing what happens for the Vikings. Like, this is a real test because we've already established that they struggle against teams that Kirk Cousins and this offense is struggling against teams that have a good defense overall, that have a good secondary. The Eagles have an elite rush defense.
Yeah.
So they can shut down Dalvin Cook, but they have an abysmal pass defense.
But they have a good pass
so
rush.
So Cousins and Thielen and Diggs really have.
Yeah, so fine. Cousins will go 14 for 15 with 200 yards.
Hold on.
But then
they had 3 sacks on the season coming into the Jets game. Now, they had 8 sacks last week.
I think 10, but yeah.
No, they had 3 coming into the game.
Yeah.
They were last in the league. Then they had 8 against the
Jets. I really don't know about this game. I really don't know who's going to win. Philly has 3 straight road games without a bye.
Yeah. But they had 10 days off. You know, they played the Packers on Thursday night last week. I'm going to pick
Minnesota,
the Vikings
at Dallas, at Buffalo. Before the year was like, okay, Minnesota's about as good as we thought. Dallas is about as good as we thought. And obviously Buffalo's much better. That's a brutal 3-game stretch. And then, how about this?
Yeah.
And then they have, and yes, they've had some, you know, they've had some winnable games. They've hosted the Jets and the Redskins, you know, 2 of the 3 worst teams in the league. And they lost close ones to Atlanta, Detroit, and obviously have one of the best wins of the year in Green Bay. But after the 3 road games, they have Chicago at home, bye week, and then New England, Seattle at home. It's brutal. And then, of course, they get the Miami, Giants, Redskins, Cowboys, Giants. So, four games against, you know, bottom 5 teams in the league. This is, I think the winner of this game becomes my next week favorite for the 6th playoff spot. I do think you're still going to be battling with whoever the 3rd place team in the NFC West is. But this is not a loser leaves town match, but the loser of this game has so much catching up to do in terms of the playoff race.
Well, here's my hot take, though, because I have the Vikings winning this game, but I have the Eagles finishing as the 1 seed in the NFC.
The 1 seed in the whole conference?
Based on my predict every
game,
you don't
understand.
I have them losing this game. I have them losing this game.
They're going to beat the Patriots?
I have them finishing 11-5.
You have them beating the Patriots again?
I'd have to check, but I have them.
It's absurd.
Well, somebody's got to beat the Patriots.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you have them going 12-4 and being the 1 seed?
Let's see. I have them losing to Minnesota.
Did Shamir hack your system?
I have them losing to Dallas. I have them dropping to 3-4. And then from that point forward, I have them winning 8 games in a row. They go from 3-4 to 11-4.
And then what do they do in week 17?
They lose because they're locked into the 1 seed.
They're
already
locked in the 1 seed, so they're a 1 seed at 11-5, which is possible in the NFC.
Yeah.
No, New Orleans and Green Bay are much better. Now, they have beaten Green Bay.
I don't have Green Bay. I don't have Green Bay making the playoffs.
Oh, you should watch a football game this season. They're very good.
Okay.
They're like unblockable. They have like one of the 3 best quarterbacks ever, and they are unblockable on defense. So I think you should have them.
They don't have one of the 3 best quarterbacks ever. He's stunk this season.
Oh, you're right. Aaron Rodgers sucks. Sorry, I apologize.
Yeah.
Bottom 5 quarterback. They have a bottom 5 quarterback in this early league. Would you rather have Aaron Rodgers or Luke Falk? Aaron Rodgers or Josh Rosen? You think Josh Rosen would, if he sat on Yom Kippur, would that change the Dolphins' outlook for the rest of the season? If there was a Sunday Yom Kippur and Rosen didn't play? I don't think he probably hasn't had to do it, right? Because they had Saturday games in college, and I guess there would be a Yom Kippur on a Saturday. I don't know.
Yom Kippur's on Saturday like 25% of the time.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what Rosen has done.
Yep. All right. Okay, but we didn't
pick.
Are you picking Philly or Minnesota?
Philly.
All right. I think the teams that the Vikings are going to have trouble with are teams with good secondaries, and I don't think Philly's one of those. So
I have New Orleans winning in Jacksonville.
Yeah, so do I. Although Jacksonville's favored now, which kind of surprises me.
I think Cincy's going to play. I really like Cincy to cover against Baltimore.
Yeah, 11.5 is too much.
Too
Baltimore,
much.
Yeah. Everybody got excited in week 1 when they beat the Dolphins 700-0, but we know what the Dolphins are now.
Mm-hmm.
So, they lost at home to the Raiders. Right, they lost at home to the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, they didn't lose at home to the Raiders. That's the Colts. Sorry, I'm getting confused. Baltimore, Indy, Cleveland—they all teams move around. I get confused.
But
Baltimore's going to win, but I take Cincy to cover. San Francisco at the Rams. So this is a very good game.
Excellent
San Francisco's
game,
first like legit test.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, what's your take on this game?
My take is that the Rams are a little better than the Niners, and they're going to win this game.
Well, yeah, but do you have anything more than that? Or
yeah, I think the Niners are not as good as we've seen so far, and the Rams are going to fix their defense, and they're not going to give up 55 points. All right, so the Bucs, the Bengals, the Steelers, and the Browns, what impresses you? Now, if you were a Niners stan out there, you'd say, well, you know, you always talk about blowout wins, and three, you know, other than the Steelers game, they have three blowout wins, right?
Well, the Bucs game wasn't a blowout. The Bucs were driving for a game-tying score.
I have double-digit wins as, you know, double-digit right. wins my stat. But they but all their wins are by 14, other than the Steelers.
Okay. Okay. I mean, this was a destruction, obviously, the game on Monday night.
Man, they got the Redskins and the Cardinals and the Cardinals. The Niners could suck and get to 10-6.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what's going to happen. But, yeah, I have the Rams.
The Rams are going to win this game. Atlanta, Arizona. Like, literally, who cares? We should not predict this game.
Yeah. How does Dan Quinn still have his job?
He's next. He's next. 1-4 versus 1-3-1.
Like, his job is defense, and their defense is abysmal.
Their defense is bad. Stop hiring defensive coaches. Hire an offensive head coach and then a Greg Williams type as your defensive coordinator. That's what you have to do.
Yeah.
Not specifically Greg Williams, who sucks, but.
But Matt Ryan is putting up monster fantasy numbers. Although he has 7 picks also, which is, you know, tied for second behind Mayfield. But also he's throwing it a lot because they're down.
Atlanta's going to win this game.
Yeah, Arizona.
Kyler Murray might have like 44 fantasy points, but then Atlanta will still win the game.
Yeah, well, yeah. There's going to be a fantasy. You know, this is going to be a fantasy bounty here for this game.
Watching games that, for whatever reason, there's been a decent number of offensive line injuries this year. I don't know if a disproportionate amount. But it seems like front 7 players, and you have all these guys coming out every year who are like 4-4 guys playing linebacker. More guys are gravitating towards playing defense, like you know, super athletes, than playing offensive line. And it just feels like front 7s are better than offensive lines this year. And there's just been so many games where it's like you realize right away, oh, the quarterback is not going to be able to, you know, he's not going to have a third of a second to throw the ball because the pocket's collapsing immediately every single play. And there's just been so many games like that this year. And the Atlanta-Arizona game will not be one of them. But, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many bad old lines everywhere. Every team thinks their offensive line sucks outside of, like, Dallas, Philly, and maybe New England. So, I don't know. Yeah. Atlanta's going to win that game, but offensive lines suck.
Yeah. Denver, to me, granted, they're 1-4, but they could have and should have beaten the Bears if not for that ridiculous 1 second that was put on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Their loss to the Raiders doesn't look so bad in hindsight. I think that Joe Flacco has been serviceable.
Wow. Never thought I'd see the day. Yeah, close loss to Jacksonville. You're not going to win in Green Bay, really, so that's...
Yeah, they lost that. Yeah, the Jacksonville lost. They lost
at the
last second
on the kick.
And then they
won in L.A., so...
Yeah, they lost 2 games on the last, you know, on a last-second field goal. Philip Lindsay, you know, has been good. Cortland Sutton's been good. Like, I think that Denver's a decent team.
But why do you think that... Tennessee is literally the definition, I think, of a decent team. Why do you think... They're better than... So Tennessee has an absolute smackdown against Cleveland, a 2-touchdown win in Atlanta, and now their losses. The Jacksonville game was... They played horrendously. But the other losses, 2-point loss to Indianapolis and a touchdown loss to Buffalo, those are playoff-ish teams in the AFC, maybe not in the NFC. I like Tennessee in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a close game. I was kind of surprised Denver was favored by 2.5. I mean, Vegas basically thinks that they're about even.
Mm-hmm. I think Tennessee's
better. So, all right, that's fine. Dallas at the Jets.
Okay. So Sam Darnold's back. Yeah. I was really excited to get Herndon back. We were expecting big things of him. He had a secret injury.
So let's talk about the Jets for a second. So coming into the season, mm-hmm. you knew your schedule started really hard and then got easier. The Jets have looked abysmal, but they haven't had their quarterback. Are they like a garbage bottom 5 type team, or are they a decent, you know, like, you know, 7-9 type team?
All right. So if I was being optimistic, I'd say they were beating Buffalo 16-0 before their best defensive player went out with an injury. Buffalo's
a good
team.
That was because of turnover luck. I mean, they were getting like beaten up and down the field. But yeah.
Yeah. But Darnold looked semi-competent, considering they weren't letting him do anything. You know, so, but anyway, they were shutting out. Yes, it was turnover luck, but they were still shutting out a playoff-ish team for 3 quarters. And the last 3 games are irrelevant. Like, the defense, I think DVOA, the defense is slightly above average still because every single drive is starting at the other teams, basically at midfield. And so allowing 23, 30, and 31 to Cleveland, New England, and Philly isn't a big deal. Obviously, their offense has been not even like Mac football caliber, just abysmal. The offensive line sucks. I think Darnold's going to have no time to throw. Their okay. tight end, who's the player they're most excited about, is not back yet, and somehow C.J. Mosley's groin injury is stretching into week 5. So I don't think this is the week, and then next week they play the Patriots. So they could be not a bottom five team. I think they are, but they could be not a bottom five team and still get 0-6 before the season starts. And then at Jacksonville's no gimme either. The Miami, New England, Washington stretch is pretty sweet, right? You get the three worst teams possibly besides themselves back to back to back.
Wait, who are they playing between Miami and Washington?
Jackson. New England and Jacksonville.
Yeah, New England's not a bottom three team. We don't.
No, I mentioned, I said they're going to go to 0-6.
Yeah.
After Dallas and New England. And then I said they have, at Jacksonville's not a gimme. And then they have a stretch of Miami, New England, Washington. And by the way, their stretch after Miami, New England,
Washington. You keep saying that's three of the bottom five teams. That's two of the bottom five teams and the best team.
New York, sorry, Miami, New York, the Giants and Washington.
Oh, okay, fine.
Sorry. Okay. And then, by the way, their stretch after that is Oakland, Cincy, Miami. Like, they have multiple, it's just absurd. They play Buffalo and Baltimore the rest of the season after next week. Teams that have a chance of being the playoffs. Two teams that have a chance of being the playoffs the rest of the season. It would have been nice had they won that first Buffalo game, because that would have really propelled their season for a long time. They suck. What do you want me to say? Gates sucks. They don't let Darnold do anything. Their offensive line just gave up 10 sacks, as you mentioned, to a team that hadn't had a sack basically all season. Yeah.
Before the season, I had the Jets winning this game, by the way.
I mean, listen, man, they'll build a statue to Darnold if he could win this game.
Yeah. No, I mean, I have the Cowboys winning, but I
have them covering. I have the Cowboys covering. All Jets suck.
Pittsburgh at the Chargers.
The Cowboys are going to have more fans at this game also. It's going to be
a garbage Sunday night game that we're missing, fortunately. I guess I'm going to pick the Chargers, but they just lost
Devlin,
to Denver. So
yeah,
what the
Devlin Hodges. Devlin Hedges. I mean, I watch every college football game.
I'm starting him in fantasy, baby.
Yeah. Are you really? Well, two quarterback league with four byes this week, so someone's got to. I mean, I guess there's two quarterbacks who aren't starting. Who are the two quarterbacks who are not starting this week is a better question, if Devlin Hedges is starting.
Because I have Jacoby Brissett on a bye. So.
Yeah, but I'm saying there's two teams, like there's going to, somewhere in the league, there's two QBs that are not starting.
No, there's five QBs who are not starting this week.
There's four.
Rosen, Bridgewater, Kyle Allen, Sam Darnold, and Colt McCoy / Case Keenum. And one person only has one QB at the moment.
Oh, okay.
And didn't even, and by the way, he has the Pittsburgh quarterback, and yet he didn't even bother bidding on Hodges. So bad job by AB and Jonah, our listeners.
Yeah, AB, maybe not. Are we sure AB's good at fantasy?
Well, he's in dead last, so probably not.
Okay. And then the Monday night game is probably even better than we thought it would be before the season, Detroit at Green Bay.
You're picking the Chargers, right?
I'm picking the Chargers in that game. Yeah. Show me
my lock
Devlin
of the week
Hodges.
Is Packers to cover this 4.5. It started at 6.5.
Yeah,
and down to 4.5.
It's a little low.
I still don't believe in the Lions. I still think that Aaron Rodgers is going to wait. He's waiting for that, you know, that 4-touchdown game.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think the Lions are okay. But I think that if the Packers have not looked that good at home, honestly. I mean, they got very lucky to beat the Vikings. Then they lost to the Eagles. It's time for Rodgers to put on a clinic on national TV, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Show your Aaron Rodgers. And at the very least, LaFleur outsmart Matt Patricia.
You've had enough time with this system. Yeah, no more excuses that, you know, you're adjusting to LaFleur's offense.
Mm-hmm.
So let me see it. So that's my lock of the week. Packers cover 4.5. Lions definitely win the game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about it.
Yeah, that was fun. We still got another week of these holiday stuff next week before.
Yeah, this is like the crazy moment from a holiday perspective, because like, to like the average person on the street, they're like, "Oh yeah, the Jewish holidays are over, Rosh Hashanah."
No.
But actually, like, the holidays haven't even begun.
Yeah, well, for you, like, because they're 2 days in the United States.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, Sukkot's still like a whole week, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the craziness is about to
begin. It's really annoying because when I had a job, I could like get out of any sort of like family activities, like my parents were taking my kids and all these trips, and it's like, oh, I would go on like the one or two fun ones, but then I could like stay home if there was like a really boring, slow day. Can't do that anymore because. Don't have a job that I could, you know. I should have a fake job just for this week. I don't know.
Yeah, I've never actually worked on Chol HaMoed because I've always been on vacation, basically.
And now you're going to work this time? We're going to take your kids.
I mean, it's like 2 days because, you know, the Shabbat in the middle and stuff. Mm-hmm. But and my kids are off from school, but yet we're not going anywhere. So I don't know what's going to happen. It's gonna be an interesting week and a half in the Chester household.
Good luck to your wife and your nannies and whatever. What else going on? You don't have four nannies? I thought you had four nannies.
No.
Is that just four because they always quit every time they come downstairs and see that you refuse to put on clothing? All right, so we're gonna get Chester back in on social media, on Facebook.
No,
on Twitter.
I'm in my modified, like I'm like semi in. I participate once in a while, but I'm not getting involved in debates. I'm not getting involved in arguments about stuff. There's no need.
No, we don't. There's no arguments. What arguments are there?
Yeah, well, in my fantasy football league, there's vociferous arguments about politics all day long.
Oh,
like,
what's
the
here?
Point? No one's convincing anybody of anything, so what's the point?
My family, we invite over as like a tradition a single lady who, I don't know if she's a widow or divorced, but she's doesn't have family like in the area, so we invite her over for the breakfast meal. And I like walked away from the table, and I came back, and they were talking politics. And like younger Uncle Kiwi would have been like, someone at the table was defending Trump, and I would have been like, oh, blah, 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 blah. I was like, you know what I did? I walked away. Because who cares? Yeah. What am I going to convince this person? Like, three years of Trump doing whatever he did it didn't convince her, but I'm going to go and tell her, like, some fun fact that's going to, like, no. I walked away, and I was like, oh, great. I don't need to be part of this. I can go do my own thing. Yeah, you don't have to argue politics with people because it will not, you could stop hanging out with people, but it will not, you will not convince anybody of anything, and they will not convince you. Yeah, that's a good side. I didn't mention on the podcast, right? My dad's 60th birthday. We had a big 60th birthday surprise party tonight.
Happy birthday.
60 of his
Rabbi Lou.
Friends and family, like, recorded, like, messages of his famous quotes. It was fun. It was really
Give
nice.
Give me an example. Give me a famous quote.
What are, he always jokes that his, that, like, the will for, his, like, when... Like, anytime he spends a lot of money, he'll say, like, oh, well, out of money, you guys get dirty socks and underwear. That's what he always says that. I don't know. What else? What does he say? I don't know. I'm tired. It's like, if someone argues with him about, like, a Jewish thing, he always jokes. He's like, all right, hold on. I'll go get my smicha, which is, like, his rabbi certificate. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what his famous lines are. Calls the bathroom the room. I don't know. Whatever. This is inside Jewish baseball stuff. Yeah. He had a cake that had like all his favorite things. So it was like a Talmud and like the slogan symbols of like Camp Morashah and the school he works at for the last 30 years and glasses because he always like has a 1,000 pair of reading glasses around the house. And there was a toilet on the cake. I guess in the bathroom a lot. Harry Potter. I don't know. All like the weird things he likes.
Which rabbi likes Harry Potter more, your father or Yair Rosenberg's father?
Well, I think Yair Rosenberg's father wrote a book about Harry.
Yeah,
Potter.
He wrote a Haggadah. I think he actually wrote two Harry Potter Jewish books.
So yeah, so. No. Although my niece has famously read Harry Potter. She claims 37 times now. She only reads Harry Potter books. She just reads all 7 books and then goes back again. She told me today I was Slytherin, but I don't think I'm Slytherin. She said my wife is definitely Slytherin.
I don't know what that means.
My wife is definitely Slytherin. That's what we've established. It's not great. I'm trying to think. Chester, tell me if there's a Harry Potter fan, tell me what house they think Chester is. I don't think anybody knows Dr. Jen enough to. I'm gonna guess Dr. Jen is Slytherin too. I don't know if anybody knows.
What's Hufflepuff? I've heard of that.
You are not Hufflepuff.
I don't know what that is.
You would strive. Hufflepuff is like happy-go-lucky. I think like Mike Bloom is Hufflepuff. I'm trying to think who you know who's a Hufflepuff.
All right.
Who's a Hufflepuff that you know?
I don't know. I'm not talking about Harry Potter. I couldn't care less. You vetoed my hot takes about the Kurds.
Do you have any book recommendations over the holiday? Any interesting articles? Any long reads? I read some long reads in synagogue. I'm really working on a history of Hasidic Judaism. It's like 1,000 pages, so it's very dense. I'll read like 2 pages and then I'm like, I gotta like take a walk.
Yeah, that's not a great endorsement.
Do you know? Well, because it's like sometimes it's really interesting and sometimes it's really technical. You don't know because you've never really been in service with me, but I'm famous for pacing. I just like walk.
You're a pacer.
You know this? I walk like up and down the aisles all day.
Oh, I've heard you say this before.
Yeah, the guy asked me at the end. He's like, I think you got like 30 miles. I counted. He was like, I just pace. And it's weird because like when I see other people pacing, I'm like, oh, that looks like a crazy person. But then I guess I just look like a crazy person for like 10 hours a day because I just like pace around and walk around, see what my kids are doing, see that. I can't sit still for 10 hours in services. I know how we did it in school. We used to, like, sit in a desk all day for, like, 8 hours a day. No questions asked. Like, you couldn't get up. And by the time I got to college, I'm like, oh, I can't do this anymore. I have to, like, go stretch my legs. I have to, like, leave in the middle of class, come back. It was impossible. If I had to go back to school now, there's no way I could do that. You think you could sit and just, like, at a desk all day? I could sit.
I do sit at a desk all day,
but not. You could get up. You get up for a minute here and there. Like, I don't know. And like, listen to people talk. I can't like listen to a 90-minute lecture. I can't listen to a 4-minute lecture. I feel like pause a movie in the middle. Can't even watch a full movie anymore. Anyway, it's been real. We'll do this again next week. Probably a late week. Next week will be a late week podcast also based on the holidays.
Yeah.
Almost out of the... we'll come back like week 9 just completely blazing with takes.
Okay.
Chester comes out every week blazing, but...
Yeah.
Let's have a drink.
All right, Keith.
Goodbye.
Talk to you later.
Bye. Oh, my girl, when she do call, she just came for a drink and smoke. Jokes and all the laughter. Stab my back and turn the dagger. I got too much shit in my head. Don't know where I went wrong. When the night's about to end, she went and threw up in my lawn. She said she don't wanna be her. I told her to stay strong. I can't find the words to say it, so I put it in a song. Sound kid from a Hollywood boy, trying to find himself, trying to find his voice. Never till now did he know where to go. Never till now did he wanna be alone. Rest in peace to my main boy Rocky. Do the dash in the whip, Ricky Bobby. Pop a perk, no, I'm feeling like a zombie. Drop a deuce in my Sprite Kalawaki. Father tell me that I'll never go far. Didn't listen, I was weak enough apart. Past the time we was looking at the stars. Past the time cause I only just turned 16. And I didn't know what love was. Yeah, hey, didn't know what loss was. Whoa, R.I.P. to a loved one. Hey, R.I.P. to a loved one. Got her heart on the seat for the taking. I could tell the whole time she was faking. Baby, I just wanna know what your name is. Found her with my best friend, they were naked. Cross on neck for the ones I hate. Friday's here, got the drugs in my veins. Pop tunes in, now she wanna get face. I got plans, I don't wanna go waste. Friday's here, so don't be shy. Take me higher than the sky. Friday's here, so let's be friends. Pop that seal, the night won't end. Imagine yourself. You just went to sleep. It was a hard day. Take a deep breath and close your eyes. And the nightmare begins. Last night, I think I made love with the devil. She turned my tears and the diamonds on my bezel. After we finished, my heart feel like it been severed. I don't wanna let this go, no, not ever. Last night was a fast night. Don't know what just happened last night, but it felt right. I don't know what happened last night, don't want this to be my last night Don't know where I'm at, don't know where I've been. Baby, please stay by my side, please don't let me sin. Open all the doors, keep on pouring forth, yeah. More. Going to these places that I've never been before. Going by designer, I'm like going by the store. Never will I drop a dime on top of fucking horn. Driving from my problems, screwed up in the mental door. This is my world, I can do what I want. I can write my own story, paint it with my own fun. I can see who I want, I can be who I am. I've been running downtown with a bitch in my hand. Like what's up, haven't seen you in a month. Are you good, are you great? I've been trying to speculate. What's the deal, how you feel? How you lost all your appeal? What happened to our perfect duo, Kobe and Shaquille?
The magic of the covenant, tailor-made in the fashion of today. For this occasion, this singer and this song.